Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, as you can see, Pastor Greg is not here this morning, and I'm really glad that you showed up anyway. Yeah. So Pastor Greg and a big portion of leaders from our church are currently in Ecuador on our missions trip. And right now, I believe they are having a service there in Ecuador. And so I just wanted to take a minute and take a few seconds and pray for them, if that's all right. If you'll bow your heads. Lord, thank you for what our team is doing around the world. We are so excited for our team who got there. They got there safely, and I'm praying, Lord, that you would continue to keep them safe, that you would minister through them this morning, and that lives would be changed. Lord, we firmly believe that we must be a catalyst for spiritual transformation around the world, and we thank you for this team that are your hands extended in Ecuador. Bless them, bless the trip, bless the service that they're having this morning, and bless our time together as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing a series where we're talking about getting you guys equipped for ministry and getting you plugged into ministry, which is the whole point of Get On Board. And we've been looking at a passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Double D kicked it off. Pastor Greg spoke on that same verse for a couple of weeks, and today we are going to finish up this passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Give me 1 second as I turn myself there and my Bible. How many of you guys brought your Bible to church? Are you all on your phone? Did you guys know that we have the Bible app and the notes for the sermon are in the app? That's pretty cool. Yeah. For those of you who don't enjoy bringing your Bible to church, which, you know, that's between you and the Lord, I guess. We it's something that kids ministry has been really pushing lately, mainly because when we want to look at being a biblically fluent church, we want our kids to also be biblically fluent. And how can you know what is in the Bible if you don't have the Bible, if you don't even know where to turn in your Bible for stuff? So anyways, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15:58. The verse says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." And Double D kicked off the series by talking about the first part of that. And he said, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable." And he talked about what being strong and immovable means and what we are supposed to do whenever life attacks us, how we can be strong and immovable. And then Pastor Greg continued it by talking about always working enthusiastically for the Lord and what happens whenever we feel burnout or whenever we feel like we can't keep going any longer. Well, today we're going to finish it up, and I'm actually going to look at the Message version of this portion of the Scripture. The Message version, it says, "Being confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort." I like the way that it says that. It says, "Nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort." And when you look at this, I'm very much an expository preacher. I'm going to look at the verse, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it says. And we're going to break this down. And this, to me, is really clear cut. It says, "Nothing you do for Him is a waste of time." To me, what that implies is I've done something. Well, in order for us to have any kind of impact, in order for anything that we do to be a waste of time, we have to do something. Because if we do nothing, then the nothing is nothing. It can't be a waste of anything because it's nothing. But if I do nothing, then I am wasting my time. If I've chosen that I'm not going to do anything with my life, then I've wasted my life, right? Isn't that what some people would say? Do nothing and you've wasted it. What is that story in the Bible where the guys have all of these talents that they're given, all of this money that they're given, and one person does something with it and invests it and it grows, and one person does nothing with it and nothing happens to it? What happens when you do nothing? Well, it's a waste. If all you do on Sundays is come to church and then go home, but you don't ever engage, you don't insert yourself as part of this community of believers, then you might be wasting your time. We are a community of believers, and in any community that I've been a part of, every single person has their part in the community. Every single person contributes to that community. And if not, then they would call you a moocher. Nobody wants to be the moocher at church. Nobody wants to be the taker at church. So maybe it's time that some of us stop doing nothing and start doing something. I'm going to tell you a story about my friend Hawo. For his protection, I've changed his name. I even changed his picture. He's a Somali friend of mine. And when Rochelle and I were living in Duradal, we got an awesome chance to build a relationship with Hawo and his whole family. And this entire time that we were building a relationship with them, that's really what we were doing, is building relationship. And I know a lot of what you guys think that missionaries do, they just walk down the street and proclaim the name of Jesus. And if we did that in Duradal, we would have gotten shot. So instead, you start with building a relationship and building a relationship and building a relationship. And you build on that. And eventually, when the time is right, you have to do something with the opportunity that you're given to pour in. And there was an opportunity that we had to pour into Hawo and his family. And we did that. Each time we had the opportunity, we took advantage of that opportunity. And if we didn't, if we did nothing, guess what would have happened? We would have been wasting our time. It would have been a whole waste of our time, of everyone's money, of us going to Africa. That would have been completely pointless if we didn't do anything with it. But instead, you're given an opportunity. And we were given an ability and an opportunity, and we took advantage of it. Now, it might have only been 6 months, and we wish that it would have been longer. But we took advantage of the opportunities that we had with people like Hawo and people like Mecca. And people like Israel, we took advantage of these opportunities with these people that we spent our life with there, and we poured into them. We had to do something with that time, or it would have been a complete waste. And I'm thankful to say that it wasn't a waste. Now, I have absolutely no idea what Hawo is up to these days. No clue. But for Rochelle and I, our purpose was to plant the seeds. And for some of you, your purpose may be planting the seed. And for others of you, your purpose may be watering the plant. Your purpose may be pruning it. Your purpose may be investing in it in a different way. It may not always be planting the seed, but you're doing something to make the plant grow. You're doing something to make the church grow. Each one of us has a part to play, and it looks different, but we've got to do something in order for us to have made any kind of impact. If we do nothing, all we're doing is wasting our time. The next part of the verse, it says, confident that nothing you do for him. We are doing all of this for one person and for one person only, and that's him. He is the reason why we are here. He is the reason why we come here. He's the reason why we come to church and we have worship. He is the reason why the people in the back are throwing a PowerPoint on the screen right now. It's all for him. He's the reason why there's a pastor down there on the kids' side probably looking really ridiculous in some Razorback garb and looking crazy and acting crazy with kids. He's doing it for one reason. That's him. And so anything that once we decide that we're going to do something, once we've made the decision that we're going to do something, now we have to check our motives. Why are we doing this thing? Why is it that I've chosen to get plugged in? Did we just do it because Addison said to do it? Did we do it because it looked fun? Or Or are we doing this because this is what God wants us to do? This is going to advance His kingdom. This is going to advance His purpose. It's going to accomplish His purpose in me. These are some questions that we need to answer. Will this advance His kingdom? Is what I'm about to do going to advance His kingdom? If it's going to advance His kingdom, maybe I should consider doing it. If it's not going to advance His kingdom, then you might ask why you're doing it. If you can't come up with a kingdom purpose for your ministry or the area that you get involved, ask the question, why am I doing this? What purpose does it serve? The next question is, will this accomplish His purpose in me? That's a valid question. If I'm doing something for the sole purpose of getting fame and recognition, then that might not be accomplishing God's purpose in me. If I'm doing something that's so far outside of my gifting set and I'm just doing it because I'm an authoritarian and I'm a control freak and I don't want anybody else to put their paws on it, then I might be doing it for the wrong reasons. I might need to check my motives there because that might not be accomplishing God's purpose in me, and I might be robbing somebody else of an opportunity for God to use them. And then the last question is, will God get praise? Who's lifted up when all of this is done? When somebody says, great job, do I say, yeah, man, I did do great, didn't I? Couldn't it happen without me? Nobody surrounds themselves with that person. And that person does not advance God's kingdom. Who gets the praise? If at the end of the day, what I'm doing is all about me and people noticing me, then I need to ask myself, why am I doing this? What is the purpose behind it? Because at the end of the day, if I'm doing something, but I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, then I'm wasting my effort. If I choose that I'm going to do something and I'm doing it simply so that people will notice me, then I'm wasting my time and my effort. I'm wasting my energy. I'm wasting my gifting. I'm wasting it. But if we do it and our motives are in check and we do it for the right reasons and it's advancing His kingdom and it's accomplishing His purpose in us and He gets praise, because you and I both know that's the only reason why we are here. It's the only purpose in our life is to praise God. That's the reason why you and I were created and why we are on this earth, is to glorify God, to give Him praise. And anything that we do that detracts from that, that's probably not God's will for us. That's probably not God's purpose for you or for me. So when we talk about wasting our effort, there's this kid. Let me back up. Whenever I was a kid, I grew up at North Little Rock First, which is like 30 minutes down the road. And the church planted a church in inner city Little Rock called Metro Worship Center. And that Metro Worship Center, it's basically like in this developmental housing area of Little Rock. And all the people that were there were like super low income, all on government aid. And so we planted a church in this area. And there was a homeless church that was birthed from it. And our youth group from North Little Rock planted the youth group there at Metro Worship Center. And we called it Revolution. Revolution Student Ministries. And our leadership from that youth group, every single Tuesday, went down and we made service happen. And we had worship. We had a game. One of the students would bring the message. And we tried our best to get different students from that community to get involved and to take ownership of it, because at the end of the day, that's what we wanted. We wanted them to take over it. So there was this kid. His name's Jasper. And Jasper came to Revolution. He was a kid there in that community. And Jasper got plugged in. And he ended up becoming a part of the worship team. And he was a great worshiper, a great kid. And on one particular day, we went down to have service. And Jasper was the only kid that showed up. The only one that showed up. And most people would have been like, well, let's just stop everything that we're doing and we'll cancel tonight and maybe just play some board games or something like that, hang out, have fun, and not do church the normal way. But instead, we chose that we were going to give our full effort to give everything for Jasper. And when worship came around, guess who was on the worship team? Jasper. We had a game that we played. Guess who played and won the game? Jasper. And then we had a response time. And the message that particular day, I remember, was about breaking down walls. And it was actually a very similar message to what we just did this last Wednesday at Velocity. But it was breaking down walls and breaking out of our shell. And there was one student who responded. And that was Jasper. There's no one in that picture who would look at that day and say that was a waste of time or a waste of energy. Because we weren't doing that day for our ego, for the numbers. We didn't do ministry at Revolution to have a massive youth group. We did it so that people could be impacted. And that day, Jasper was impacted. But I think even more so than Jasper, our team was impacted. And there's going to be times when you're doing ministry and you're going to be doing the ministry, and the ministry that you are doing is going to impact you more than the person that you're ministering to. And that's okay. The idea is that you are the one doing the ministry and that you're doing it for the right reason, that you're doing it with the right motive and the right intent. At some point in time, we've got to decide that we're going to get in the game. We must get in the game. Every single one of us. If you're not plugged into a ministry, it's time. Get plugged into a ministry. It takes a village to raise a child, right? Well, if it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a bigger village to have an effective church. It takes a community of believers to make an impact. And I don't know if you've, I mean, obviously today it's Labor Day weekend, pastor's gone. You guys are the hardcores. I'm just telling you. Because you came on Labor Day weekend and Pastor Greg's not here. You came to listen to the youth pastor, and I applaud you for that. But looking at today, you wouldn't be able to tell it. But our church is actually a growing church. We are growing in a lot of different phases. We are growing numerically. We are growing in the people that are getting plugged into ministry. But here's the thing. In the business world, they have this 80-20 principle. And the 80-20 principle is that 80% of the funds come from 20% of the people. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. But across America, they've noticed a trend, and the church stat is actually more like 90-10. 10% of the people give 90% of the funds, and 10% of the people give 90% of the effort or accomplish 90% of the work. And when I look across our church, I wish that I could say, you know, we're more at 80-20. But I could probably name the 35 to 40 people who make the biggest impact at our church of 370. And that's right at 10%. I can name the 35 to 40. And today, I'm just going to give you a picture of one of them, the Koskis, their whole family. When you look at people who are so plugged in, and kids who are so invested in the church. Parents, if you want your kids to be plugged into church, get them involved in ministry. If you want your kids to be serving Jesus and to be thinking about things like, what was that conversation that Dylan was having the other day about how much money he spent on video games? And he was like, wow, that people spend a whole lot of money on video games. Nobody thinks that way when you're a kid. Unless there's an investment that's happening and unless Jesus is affecting them. And when you look at the Koskis, they're Exhibit A. So you look at what Brandy and Eddie do. They don't just help out with Velocity. It feels like probably half of the things that happen at Velocity are because one of them are doing it. You've got life group leaders. There's a story that I'll just go ahead and tell you. And I don't even think they know. They may or may not. But Pastor Greg wanted Eddie and Brandy, because our church is growing and we need more life groups, Pastor Greg was going to ask Brandy and Eddie to be adult life group leaders, and I told him no. I don't get in the habit of telling my boss no, but I need them. I need them in Velocity. They're some of our life group leaders. Eddie drives the bus and picks up kids for Sunday morning for church with George and with Sean. Eddie helps and leads our Men of God squad, which is this Facebook group. Men get together every once in a while and just eat. And that's building camaraderie in our church. He fills in for tech whenever there's a need. Brandy does check-in at the Power Plant Kids check-in area. So whenever you're checking in kids, she's one of those people that helps. Brandy's part of the count team. But then it extends beyond just Eddie and Brandy. It extends to their children. Dylan and Everett are both not just part of Velocity, they are in ministry and Velocity. They both have helped with the cafe. They are both plugged in with PowerPoint Kids. Everett is on the youth worship team. Dylan's helped with tech. Seriously, parents, if you want your kids to be involved in church and to own it like it's theirs, get them involved in ministry. And the best way to get them involved in ministry is for you yourself to model being in ministry. Your kids are going to repeat what you do. They're watching you and they are learning from you. And whatever it is that you're doing, you are example A for them. Not the youth pastor, not the youth worker, the parent. You spend more time with them. You have more influence on them than we do. And what you decide that you're going to do, they're going to take it up a notch. There's a leadership adage that says that what you do in moderation, your followers will do in excess. Parents, when you decide that you're going to serve, your kids will decide that they're going to serve and go above and beyond in serving. And that's what we want. We want our kids, we want our families all to be plugged into ministry. So you say, Addison, I want to get involved. I just don't know how or know what or how it affects the kingdom or why it's important to have these different ministries. Well, I want you to take this get on board card, and we're going to look at these ministries. And I'm going to tell you why they matter. Because for you to really make an informed decision on what it is that you're going to get involved in, you need to know the why behind it. So you look at Power Plant Kids Ministry. You've got the babies in the nursery. And you've got the kids that are in preschool. This is a safe place that you can bring your kids. This is a place where people love them. This is a place where people are pouring into them. And once they get into preschool, they're no longer just playing with toys. They're learning about Jesus. And the other day, my son, my daughter was singing a bunch of songs like the ABCs and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And Liam in the back seat literally just started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's the song that he wanted to sing. Someone's making an impact. And that happens here. And we want to know the why behind getting involved in the nursery and the preschool. How many of you would bring your kids to church if you didn't feel like your kids were loved? Not a single one of you. And what we need are more people who are willing to love on children. One of the major, it's probably the biggest reason why we moved from having two services to one. Growing churches don't go from two services to one service. But you do that when there's a shortage of workers. And in our kids' ministry, on Sunday mornings, there is a massive shortage of workers loving on children. Especially in our infant nursery, our walkers, and in our preschool. We need more. This last Sunday, there's 27 kids in the preschool area, and there are two people available to work. At some point in time, that's going to have to split into two different classrooms. But that means we're going to need four people who can work on Sundays with preschoolers. And the more people that we have that are willing to work with preschoolers, the less you have to. If we could get 16 people who would say, man, I love working with preschoolers, I would love to be a part of preschool ministry, you would only have to work once a month. You would only have to invest in kids once a month. And you say, well, that's once a month that I have to be with kids. Somebody is loving on your kids. Love on somebody else's kids. It matters. Children's church that happens on Sundays and on Wednesdays upstairs, it's a big undertaking. Anytime you're working with kids, you've got security things that you got to be looking at. You're looking at check-in, doing check-in the proper way to make sure that everyone knows where their kids are at, who the kids belong to, and that they go home with the right parents. That's not easy. But there's a system, and what we need is more people to do that. We need more people who are willing to do check-in to make sure that kids are checked in safely and that they're checked out and go home in the right hands, safe with their parents. But then actually doing ministry with those kids, kids are chaotic. I've got two of them, and I feel like we need four parents in our household to take care of two kids. So all those kids that are down there, we need people to harness the chaos that is happening and to make it not just a fun environment, but a fun environment where kids are learning and can still pay attention. And we need adults who are willing to do that. Students, some of you need to be willing to do that, to be a part of children's church on Sunday mornings. The van driver. Man, we need people who can drive the bus. Because then you have weeks like this week where one of the bus drivers is gone. Imagine if Eddie or Sean were sick. We need to have two people each week inside that van just to make sure that everything's okay. One person driving and one person making sure the kids aren't stabbing each other with pens. So what would have happened this morning if Sean or if Eddie were sick? How would the bus ministry have happened? We would have had to find somebody who could ride with them. We need more people who can be a part of the van ministry here with our kids. So then we look at Velocity Student Ministry. Yeah, we've got life group leaders. And we need, absolutely, we need more people who are willing to be life group leaders, not just in Velocity, but in our entire church. With our youth, we want to start discipleships. But things like discipleships take time. And right now, we've got four couples and a single dude who are helping out with Velocity. Well, if all of them are doing life groups and all of them are here on Wednesdays and all of them are going to football games, band recitals, basketball games, volleyball games, forensics tournaments, band, drama, dance, choir, softball, like all of these different things that our students who are very talented that they're involved in. At some point in time, they're going to be spread too thin if we also ask them to do discipleships and to lead that. Especially when Eddie and Brandy are already working in all of these other areas. We need more people and Velocity loving on our students on Wednesday night. Especially in the series that we're in called Impact. We probably need to have 12 adults and we've got 8. We need more people and Velocity. With media and worship, you've got cameras, sound, pro presenter. You say, why do you have cameras? Did you guys know that there is an online following on our Facebook? Like, there are people who are watching online on Facebook. Some of you guys have even taken advantage of watching online when you haven't been here. Maybe you were sick or maybe you're on vacation. Hopefully you weren't like the Sanders a few weeks ago and sick on vacation. But we have an online ministry, and we need somebody who can be back there and run the camera and make sure that I look really pretty on it. Just kidding. I never look pretty on camera. It's something like that face that I make, that one. People don't realize the importance of sound and media until something goes wrong. Because how many of you guys know that if something would have happened or glitched, everyone would have turned around and looked directly at those three dudes in the back? Well, we need more people who are willing to do that and to be a target. I'm just kidding. We do need more people, though, who are willing to serve. Because I am very much a visual learner. And having things like graphics on the screen helps me. And it helps my ADHD tremendously. And we need more people who are willing to serve so that people like me can really focus and learn about what it is that we're talking about here at church. How many of you guys like to worship with music? Yeah? Only like four of you? Not even the worship team likes to worship with music, Megan, sorry. How many of you guys like to worship with music? Yeah. And how many of you guys like to hear that music? Yeah, so we need musicians, and we need more people back there running sound. Jonathan is like our in-house sound guy who does sound here on Sunday mornings, there on Wednesdays. If there's ever an issue in here on Wednesday nights, he leaves over there to come here and fix the issue. Thomas Berry also helps out with sound on Wednesday nights. But we need more people, because on a week when Thomas might be sick, on a Wednesday night, guess who's running sound? Pastor Greg. And you know who doesn't need to be running sound on a Wednesday night? Pastor Greg. I mean, it just is what it is. We need more people who are willing to learn it, who are gifted in that area, who are willing to learn it, but then follow through and actually do it. Now, I know that Jonathan would love to be there and sit in the tech booth, and he's totally happy doing that. But when he goes out of town, he gets to go on vacation too, y'all. When he needs to go on vacation and get away, guess who runs sound? Yeah, we usually scramble that morning to find someone. Or one of our musicians can't worship on stage. Instead, Travis has to go back there and run sound. And then the music doesn't sound as good because I'm not nearly as talented as Travis. Which brings me, we need more musicians. The list goes on and on and on. We need people. And that's just the reality. With a growing church, for us to make the big impact, we need more people who are willing to be involved in it. And I could continue the list and go on and on and on. But I think at this point in time, I'm beating a dead horse. You guys have gotten the picture. And so really quick, I'm just going to hit one more because it's one that's not even on here. But it's one that we definitely need. Will you guys play that video real quick? The Friend Day one?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, the Assembly is proud to invite you to join us for the greatest show in town. It's Friend Day. September 22nd at 10 a.m., we will have food, fun, games, and prize giveaways. Come one, come all. It will be a family circus you will never forget.
That was my daughter screaming, for those of you who didn't know. It actually wasn't, but that's what she sounds like. So that video, we've got Friend Day that's coming up on September the 22nd. And it's going to be an incredible event here at the church. You're not going to want to miss it. There really are going to be prizes and giveaways. But I show that video to tell you about what it took to make that video and what we need to help in that department. So initially, I was going to be the one inside that costume looking crazy and ridiculous. But then the more I thought about it and planned it out, who was going to run the camera? Like, those shots that we had weren't a stationary camera. The camera was moving. Who was going to do that while I was sitting in front of the camera? No one. I didn't know of a person that I could call that would know how to do that. We need people who know how to shoot video to do it well. And if you don't, and maybe you have the eye for it, and you're like, oh, man, I'd love to learn, come find me. Because that video took 10 hours of my week. I'm a youth pastor. That's 10 hours that I wasn't spending being a youth pastor. That was 10 hours that I was spending working on a video. Now, it's not me complaining by any stretch of the imagination. I'm telling you there is a need for someone who knows what they're doing with the camera and how to edit it. And if that's you out there, come find me because I desperately need you. And Velocity would not be upset if I were spending 10 more hours a week on Velocity instead of editing videos. So seriously, videos, graphics, if you know how to do it and you are willing to spend the time on it and you're joyfully willing to do that enthusiastically for the Lord, we really could use you. And it's not just me. There are so many things that we would love to get videos of. There's so many events that we would love to get videos of that we just can't because we don't have the people who know how to handle the cameras. Like every once in a while, I'll call Jonathan and be like, hey, it's, what was the extravaganza? I said, Jonathan, I need you to come so that way we can get some pictures and some video. Deanne House does that from time to time. Misty Raper does that from time to time, but they all do pictures for the most part. Videography is very different. We need people who are willing to learn. All I'm saying is look at this card. Figure out what is it that I'm good at? How can I serve? How can I be a part of advancing His kingdom here at the assembly? How can I be a part of being a catalyst for spiritual transformation in Cabot, Central Arkansas, and the world by being plugged in here? What is an area here? Is it power plant? Is it Velocity? Can I invest in students or kids? Can I help out with media or with worship? Can I get plugged in with hospitality? Because how many of you know that if you walked into this church on a Sunday morning and the person at the door went, hey, glad you're here, you wouldn't feel very welcome and you'd probably like turn around, get back in your car and go to the next church down the road. But thankfully, we have a group of people who are willing to be happy and who are naturally happy greeting people at the door. We need more people willing to do that and a host and a welcome guest and those who are new. We need people who are willing to help out with maintenance around the church. It's a building. Things happen. Things fall apart. And Kevin would love for you to help him out. And then, like I said earlier, with the life groups, we need people who are willing to teach and lead life groups here at the church. Double D, we stopped having kids' life groups. And Double D is now leading a life group. So if you, here in a second, we're going to show the life group video. When you see his life group, that is not the kids' life group. That is an adult life group that welcomes parents with children. I think there's been some confusion, so I just wanted to make sure that we're clear on that. Really, guys, we need you. And I've spent the last 18 minutes talking about the ways that we need you. Because it's that important. And it's that sincere. And it's that urgent. We desperately need people. And so we're going to play the life group video. And what I want for you to do is I want you to find a, if you're not already plugged into a life group, I want you to find a life group on this card that you can get plugged into. Or flip it over on the backside. Find an interest group that you can get plugged into. And then Pastor Greg said it last week. Check two boxes on the ministry area. You may not get involved in both of those areas, but at least check the two boxes so that those ministry leaders can contact you and see about answering any questions and finding a place where you can get plugged in because there is need. And so, this video is going to play. You guys take a few moments, watch the video, learn about the life groups, and fill out the card. And then when you're done with the card, I'm going to come back up here. I'm going to pray for you, dismiss you. You can either drop it in that drop box in the back or just leave it on the seat that you're sitting in. Like, I'll even let you be it'll be that easy. Fill it out, just leave it in your seat, and we'll come pick it up after you guys have all left. But seriously, we need you guys to get plugged in. You can go ahead and play that video.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Bree.
And we're the Boyds.
We are part of the life group Togetherness, which focuses on marriage.
You do not have to be married to join. togetherness help prepare us for our marriage and continues to strengthen and guide us.
If you are married or thinking about getting married, please come join us at Togetherness.
My name is Jerry Baker, and I attend a cell group with Tommy and Cindy Brown. And just want to invite y'all out to be with us. If we have some good Bible study, we have some good prayer, and also we have good food to eat every time we meet. We meet at Sharon and Steve Pickens' house over in Greystone, and we'd just like to ask you to come be with us.
Hi, I'm Kathy Peters.
And I'm Winand Wiggins, and we are the leaders of Kingdom Women, which is a group for all ages of women. We meet together, and we pray, we do Bible study, we support, we encourage one another.
This year, we'll be doing a study on Lisa Turker's book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. It's a wonderful study tool for us to learn how to get through the times that we just weren't expecting, and we don't understand why God is putting us through these trials. It gives us wonderful tools, and it's just reinforcing that God is always with us, and He always has a purpose.
We'd love to have you come and join us on Life Group Sundays here at the Assembly. Please come, and we know you'll enjoy our group.
Hi, I'm Tom White, and this is my wife, Beth. We're excited to lead another Life Group session here at the Assembly. Life Groups help us meet with others who are seeking to know more about Christ and want to do it in a setting where they can meet with other believers. This fellowship really forms a basis for good relationships and friendships. Fellowship with other believing Christians strengthens us in ways that nothing else can. Many scriptures remind us to gather and support each other. We share our stories, we pray for each other, and we have fun together. As iron sharpens iron, this group challenges, supports, and strengthens each other through Bible teachings and sharing our life experiences. Our study this session is through Right Now Media's The Book of Titus by Chip Ingram. And now, we'd like to introduce a few of our epic life group members who are going to share some special words with you.
Latia M. Christus M. Chigan.
Alentando a las personas en Cristo.
Encouraging people in Christ.
Hi, I'm Donetta.
I'm Cassie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are the Journey Life Group. We're open to everyone, married or single.
And we're kid friendly.
So if you want to be encouraged in your walk with the Lord and build relationships, check out the Journey Life Group.
Come on out now.
Hey everybody, my name is Travis Larison, and I will be hosting a life group this fall called Forefront. This life group is open to people of any age, background, it doesn't matter. And we are just going to be diving deeper into the Word of God. There's nothing really going on that special. We're just going to eat food, have fellowship, hang out, and we're going to try to keep the Word of God in the forefront while we hang out and crack jokes and eat good food, and I hope to see you there.
Hi, we're David and Natalie DeBlock. We're the leaders of Prism Life Group.
Yeah, well, we're going to reflect God's light. And you know what, Natalie?
What?
We are kid-friendly!
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, because we're the kids' pastors, so go figure.
We want to connect, build lifelong relationships.
And we're going to grow deeper in God's Word by hanging out, eating food together. And you know what's so great?
We live in the center of town.
Yeah, so it's going to be really convenient because we want you guys to come out and hang out with us. And let's have a great time.
Hi, I'm Darcy. My husband George and I lead the life group Elevate. We are a life group for college and 20-somethings. We meet every other Sunday night. And we like to get together and have fellowship and fun. We eat, we talk about the Lord, and we just like to do life together. And we'd love to see you.
I'm Addison, and I'm the Velocity Student Ministries pastor. And there is a life group for all of our Velocity students. We'll be broken up by grades, and we are going to be diving into a book by Lou Giglio that's all about living a lifestyle of worship. We would love for you to join us at 5:30. We'll eat some pizza, and then we're going to go to different houses around the city and dive in to life and dive into God's Word. I'm really looking forward to it, and we hope to see you there. So the moral of the story is get plugged in. Find a way that... that you can make an impact here at the Assembly. We want you guys to all be involved. We don't want for 90% of the work to be done by 10% of the people. We want it to be everyone. Everyone here doing their part, getting involved, making a difference, and seeing how God could possibly use you to be a catalyst for spiritual change. How is it that God can use you to do that? I really am a firm believer that everything is better in teams. And the more people we have doing ministry here at the Assembly, the more ministry our church can do in our city and around the world. When I do anything for the Lord, His kingdom advances. When I do anything for the Lord, His kingdom advances. I've got to do something, and I've got to do it for the right reasons, and when I do, I promise it won't be a waste of time or effort. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. It's not useless. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be your hands and feet. We want to be instruments that you can use. And we don't want to allow anything from our past. We don't want to allow any pressures that we feel. We don't want any priorities in our lives to be misplaced. We want to serve you. We want to make an impact. Every single one of us has this desire to make a difference. Help us find the place where we can do that. Help us find the ministry that can make an impact. Help us to find our place and insert ourselves so that we can be an influence for good. So that we can be a model of Jesus to our friends and to our families, to our coworkers. Help us to find a way that we can be involved, not just here, but even in our community. Lord, we want to make a difference. We were created to worship you. We were created to glorify you. And we want to do that in everything that we do. We want to do that. Lord, help us. Help us to make an impact, and help us to find where we can make that impact. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.